Thank you, Ms. Carolyn. Welcome to the Easter Sunday edition of our church here at Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist. I'm delighted to see the number of visitors. We hope that you make yourself at home and feel welcome and in observance of this most precious day in our heritage. Without the Lord having risen from the grave, there's no salvation, but thank God that He did. And join us in singing, and we are taking applications. We have some worthy singers up here, but there's a lot of room. So anybody that wants to say, "Here am I, send me," you come on up. But in the meantime, we'll start with number 53, "The Blood That Stained the Old Rugged Cross." 53. Very good. All right, let's turn back a couple of pages to number 48. 48, "Because of Calvary."
You are Thank you, Ms. Carolyn, for the good singing and playing this morning. Good morning to all. Thankful for the good number that has come out today for our services. We have visitors with us, and we thank you for being here this morning and just are thankful that you have saw fit to come into our church today to be in service to our Lord. And I hope and pray today that we can all just come together, humble our hearts, and be ready to serve God today, to worship Him in this service today is what I hope that we'll be able to do. And I just pray that we can all follow the Lord today is what I hope we'll try to do our very best in this service today. We are glad to have all of our visitors with us. This being Resurrection Sunday, I heard that statement made different times over the last few days, how it was going to be Resurrection Sunday. Didn't call it Easter. And I think that's a good way of putting it. It is the day in which that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. I looked in my Bible. In my Bible, I have a, I guess you'd call it a Hebrew calendar. It's different from ours. It's got different months. They're made up different as far as the number of days and such. And they can move. And Passover was always the first Sabbath of the month of Nisan. And I looked at it, and the month of Nisan could range anywhere from April down to even the 1st of May. And they did it according to moons is basically what they did. And the reason for that is, why I say that is, it was right before Passover that our Lord was crucified. And after the Passover was done, on the first day of the week, our Lord resurrected from the dead. And that's what we're celebrating in this service today, or we should be celebrating. I'll say it that way. We are glad that everybody is here. And we hope that everybody here has been saved by the grace of God and knows the power of that resurrection today. But if you've not, what I would say to you today is, I hope and pray that the Lord will touch your heart today. And first of all, let you know that you're a sinner in the sight of God. And when He lets you know that, that's your signal that the Lord is drawing you to Him. And when you realize that you're a sinner, then you start going to the Lord and praying to Him. And years ago, I had a lady talking to me about it, and she said, I hear people talk about that they cried and they wept and they just got in such terrible shape. And she said, I didn't get saved that way. I said, I did. And I'm going to be honest with you, I felt sorry for her because I went through the trouble and sorrow and pain of sin so much so like David did that when I got saved, oh, it was such a great blessing to me and just the peace of knowing that all of that was gone and never to come back. Oh, man, that made me feel really well is what it did. And so that's what Jesus did. All the pain that He went through during His 30-some-odd years here on this earth. You might think, well, we only talk about just right before His crucifixion, His trial, and then the hanging on the cross and suffering through that. No, He suffered 33 and a half years, just like we do. He suffered. But while He was there on that cross, He suffered our sins, is what He did. And by that, we are saved today. Well, I'm going to hush. It's good to see everyone here today. We're going to move right along with our services. I'm going to do the children's church, and I want to invite all the kids to come right over here to this side, if you will. All the kids now, come on. Come on. Good to see all of this good bunch coming. Always glad to see you is what I am. Good morning, everybody. So you heard me talk about the resurrection, right? And we talk about Jesus and his resurrection, right? Okay. Do you think Jesus was dead? That's what we teach, isn't it? Now, maybe some of you haven't seen somebody dead, but basically when somebody is dead, there's no life there, right? So there was something very miraculous about the day that Jesus was in the grave. He'd been there for 3 days and three nights is what the Bible tells us. And the scripture said that when he was there in the grave that he was lifeless. Now, to be lifeless is something that I guess we would say is a little bit kind of odd, but natural to us because he was God. It was a little bit odd because Jesus said, I am forever. He says, I am the beginning and I was the end. I am the end is what he said. Now, how would you describe what it meant when Jesus came back to life? Anybody want to try that one? Nope. Okay, I'm going to try to give you an example. What I kind of think that it might have meant, well, I won't say might have meant, what it meant was that when he died and was in that grave, he was lifeless. There was no breathing. His heart wasn't beating. There was nothing about him that seemed to be alive. And actually, during all of that time that he was in the grave, he was just like that. But then, all of a sudden, there was life. Now, this is kind of what I came up with here. What do you see there? A flashlight. Is there anything right here now? Just bugs, right? But if I punch that button, there was light. And just as that light came on right there, let me do it again. No light. Now there was light. That's the way Jesus' life was. You know, I've tried to imagine how he was when he was in the grave there that day. You know, I can't exactly describe, but in my mind, my imagination, that he was just laying there stiff, no life, not breathing, and then all of a sudden, there was life. Just like the light came on here. It just came on all of a sudden. Maybe that's not as good an example. I don't know that we can actually describe it. But just as sure as that light came on that flashlight, Jesus became alive there in the grave. Amen. He became alive, just as alive as you and I. And I want you to keep that in mind. Because there's a lot of people out there that will tell you, that didn't really happen. That's just an old fable, old story. But it did happen. It did happen. Okay, Children's Church for me today is going to be short. I hope you understood a little bit of something today. So I'll dismiss you. Just remember what Jesus did. He became life right there in that grave. I'll let you go. Good to have every one of you up here. Listen. The thought came to me about that other day, and how do you show that there's something instant happen? And that maybe that's the best way to do it there. I hope that maybe they got the idea of it. In case, I know y'all didn't see it. No light, then light. When Jesus was dead, Then he came to life. That quick is what he did. All right, it's good to see each and every one here today. We appreciate everybody coming out to our service today. As we said, we are so glad to have all of our visitors with us today. It is a beautiful day for us to worship the Lord. And I hope and pray that we will do our best to worship the Lord today in this service. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. We wonder if anybody has a prayer request on your heart at this time. We've been blessed this week in many ways. Some of our sick have gotten better, and we're thankful for that. Some of them are not as well as they want, but we want to remember them in our prayers. There was some made in Sunday school, and I'm sure in each of the classes there was prayer requests. I want you to pray for my granddaughter. She is recovering today. And so y'all pray for her. If you want to know what happened, if you didn't hear already, if you want to hear what happened, we'll tell you about it later. I don't want to go into details this morning, but we just want you to be prayerful for her, that she'll recover well. She's okay. Don't get me wrong. She's doing okay. But just want you to pray for her is what I want you to do. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? Yeah. Oh, lay out of here. Lord help. Let's do remember this request. Brother Tim sent that to me earlier this week about this friend, and I told him my father-in-law also suffered from that, and they cured him. The Lord cured him is what I'll say, and he can do it. Somebody else. Lord help. Let's do remember this request also. Somebody else.
I had a prayer for my mother.
Yeah.
And some tests that she had one that would be the outcome of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something to be thankful for, is that man being rescued after being captured and him on a mission field. Our thoughts was that any of our missionaries could get caught up in that just as easy as he did. So we need to be prayerful for our missionaries too, praying that they'll be kept safe and kept out of harm's way. So do remember them. Somebody else. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and we just hope everybody will pray. Pray for this service. Pray for yourselves. Pray for the people around you. Pray for the preacher. He needs all the prayers he can get. I'm going to be honest with you. But pray that the Lord will be in our service and help us to worship Him today is what I want us to do. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Tom, if you would, could you lead us, please? Everybody pray.
Continue our worship service. Turn to number 213, near the cross, 213.
Jesus, we bring you the cross, never let your
Y'all need to take that show on the road. I couldn't celebrate one of my favorite Christian days without singing my favorite song. Some of you know what it is. Number 72. Number 72. Sing the chorus again? Why not? Give us a turnaround there, Miss Carolyn.
There are ones I know.
I believe that'll be the best part of heaven, is Jesus is there.
Amen.
Of all the people I want to see, Brother James, talk to, I want to see my Jesus. Thank him for his grace toward me, Miss Elaine, to my family. I want to see all these grandbabies and little babies around here come to know the Lord. 50 years from now, when I'm dead and gone, I want this place to be thriving.
Yes,
and I want the truth to be preached here. God bless everybody. Let's do one more. 107, bottom of the page. Nothing but the blood.
Thankful for the good singing this morning. You did a good job this morning. Like Brother Sam said, it's always good to hear the ones in the choir sing, and there's always room up here, so everybody that would like to sing up here, we'd be glad to have you come on up and help out in the choir also. We are thankful for the good number this morning, though. And we see faces, excuse me, that we haven't seen in a while. And we're glad that you're here today. And I just pray that we can all just come together and worship the Lord this morning in spirit and in truth this morning. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything before we go any further? Brother Sam gave you a little testimony a while ago. And if the Lord's leading you, I always want you to follow the Lord. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. We had a little troubles this week as far as our granddaughter was concerned. We didn't get to be here Wednesday night. And I told Paul this morning, it seemed like it'd been a month since we was here. But I'm glad that we're able to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And we just pray that the Lord will bless this service, and I hope he blesses you greatly today. If nobody has anything on your heart, turn, if you would, to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. The 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. In this 16th chapter, most people recognize it, for it is one of the accounts that well, we'll just say it's the account that Matthew gave of when they went into Caesarea Philippi, and the Lord said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And he said, they said, "Well, Elijah, or maybe one of those prophets, maybe it's John the Baptist," they said. But he said, "Who say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." He got it right, didn't he? Now, after that, he had went ahead and said a few things here. He changes the story. He basically tells them, first of all, don't you tell nobody who what you just heard, that you are, that I am the Son of God. That kind of sounds odd, doesn't it? But his time was not yet. And what I mean by that, there was coming a time in which that it was going to be time for him to die. And if he had, if they'd went out and started proclaiming that to everybody, just we'll say to every sinner that was out there, there'd been a lot of people who said, "There's no way he could be the Son of God. He's in flesh, and thus we're not going to believe in him." And they would have killed him before his time. So in the verse 21, this is going to be our reading lesson today. In verse 21, he turns around and basically tells them why. And he says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Now, then it said, Peter, I'm going to just paraphrase this. Peter took him aside after that and he said, "Lord, there ain't no way that can happen to you. You're the Son of God. That just could not happen." And Lord told him, he said, "Satan, get thee behind me. For you savor the things of the earth more than of God." This was Peter. This was the one that the Lord had just told him, "Thou art Peter, thou art a rock in this group." Now, we all know the story of Peter and everything, but Peter here at this moment, and I honestly believe that even the disciples themselves, at this moment in time, they were looking for a physical kingdom. They was looking for a king that was going to be like David, that was going to drive the Romans out. But that was not Jesus' purpose, was it? See, so he starts at this time. I think this was probably about halfway through that 3.5 year period. And what the scripture says about it, that here he starts to tell them what's going to happen. Now, it is recorded 3 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John does not make a reference to this in his gospel. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke list 3 times in which that Jesus told them what is going to happen. In chapter 17, you're not going far here, chapter 17, verse 22, "And while they abode in Galilee," they were in Caesarea Philippi down on the coast, now they're back in Galilee, "and Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the hands of men." That's the first time he'd said that. "And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." This is the 2 things that stays constant in what Jesus is telling them. You'll also find it in the 20th chapter of Matthew. And if you look at verse 17, and it says, "And Jesus going up to Jerusalem," remember what he said, "I'm going up to Jerusalem and they're going to take me there." He says, "Now, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them." Now, just to let you know, this is just prior to the day when he sent the disciples, 2 of his disciples in to get a colt for him to ride down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem And they were going to proclaim him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in that day. And they cut down palm leaves. They throw their clothes in there. They were reverencing the Lord the way that he should be reverenced. That was the first time when a large group of people really reverenced him as the God of gods, the King of Kings. But right prior to this, Jesus says here in the 18th verse, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem." It's right here at time, he said. "And the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? "And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him." Boy, he got down to details, didn't he? "And the third day he shall rise again." Jesus was telling us all of these things, or telling them, I guess, to get them ready for what was fixing to happen. Today we're talking about the resurrection more than anything else today. Many people say that the cross of Calvary was where our victory was won. That's what people will say. And yes, that was where he took our sins, and he hung there on the cross with our sins. And it was so terrible, everything that he went through. But the greatest victory there was after 3 days in the ground, we'll say, that he came forth out of the grave. But yet there are people out there today that will tell you, "Oh, that never happened. That's just a fable that somebody made up. Those disciples made it up to bring out this story of Jesus, trying to keep his name alive, trying to do what he had said that he was going to do." You know the story, that after that Jesus was resurrected, that the priest paid the guards to witness that they had come and hit them over the head, and they had carried the body of Jesus away. They paid them to do that. Oh, that's understandable, isn't it? People would make up any kind of story to just make the truth go away, was basically what they did. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of verses here. I want to go first to Acts, the first chapter here. I thought I'd go here later, but I want you to look at verse 3 and what Luke is writing here. And he says, "To whom also he showed himself alive." You see, Jesus did not just rise from the dead and just go away. He showed himself alive. That's the important part to us today. Jesus did not just rise from the dead and go back to heaven. You know, that's our part. When we come down to the end of time and the Lord causes our bodies to resurrect out of the grave, we're going to come up out of the grave and we're going to going to God to be with him in heaven. But Jesus showed himself alive. I want you to get that. And notice what it says, "After his passion, by many infallible proofs." I preached on this on my television program not too long ago. And I tell you what, I got just a great big blessing out of seeing the proof that was there about his resurrection, about his life. I want you to understand today, there's a lot of people out there that would like to say that Jesus did not rise from the dead, but he did. There's proof of it. There's all the time when people are talking about Jesus, you'll find the proof of it. I want to say that one of the first things that I can say today, as far as Jesus being alive today, he's in my soul today. He lives within me. That is proof to me that Jesus is alive. But he lived a physical life also after that he was rose from the dead. Now, if you want to turn over to 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, we're going to start with verse 13 and pick up a few verses here. And Paul talking to the Corinthian people on this very subject, that many people would say, there's no resurrection of the dead. There is those people out there, even back in Paul's day. Even in our Lord's day, there was a sect of the Jewish people that did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They were called Sadducees. That was part of their doctrine. There shall be no resurrection of the dead is what they said. And I'm going to skip down just a bit to the 19th verse. I'm coming back in a minute. But he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You see, the resurrection of Christ made it possible where that we will also be resurrected. We have a hope. We have an expectation that is in Christ Jesus and in his resurrection. You see, now going back up to the 13th verse, he says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is not Christ risen? You see, Paul had come to the argument that people were saying there's no resurrection. And he just turned it around on them. Well, if we're not getting resurrected, did Jesus rise from the dead? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is also in vain. Think about that today. If Jesus had not arose from the dead, your faith is in vain. What does that mean? It means that it's useless. It means that you have just put your faith in Jesus and there is nothing left for you. But what I want you to get out of this message today is Jesus did rise from the dead. Now, what he went on to say here, for we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. Paul said, I testified to it. You know, Paul had proof of it. And I'll get into that maybe here in a little bit. But he said, we testified that God raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Now, he says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain again, is what he said. Ye are yet in your sins. You see, Jesus could have died on the cross, carried your sins to the cross and held them there and died with your sins. But if he had not overcame death, if he had not overcame death, it would have been in vain. He would have not won the victory that we needed, that we could have life, that we could be saved. He would have died like any other man. He would have died like all of the sheep, the bullocks, and everything else. They did not come back to life. Jesus did come back from the dead. Now, what it says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, you know, when we sang that heavenly home, and Brother Sam was talking about all the different ones we wanted to see, those people wouldn't be there. Because Jesus, if he had not risen from the dead, we would not have an opportunity to go to heaven, would we? Now, the idea that I want you to remember is Jesus did rise from the dead. I'm going to give you proof of it here in just a few moments. Now, he said again, I've read this a minute ago, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. In other words, that are in the grave. He is the first fruits of that. And what that is a reference to is to the Jewish law that they would bring the firstlings of the flock. They would bring the first fruits of the harvest unto the Lord. It was his anyway, is what it says. And because of that, when Jesus rose from the dead, he set basically an example for us that we also are going to be risen from the dead. We're not going to stay in the grave. We're coming back one of these days. Also, all of our loved ones, if you go to a cemetery and you look at all the monuments that are there and you see these individuals, every one of them that has been saved by the grace of God, what Paul said in the book of Thessalonians was that the graves will burst open and they'll come out and they'll meet the Lord in the air is what it says. They will be risen from the dead is what they'll be. But we that remain at that time, he says, will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be changed is what it says. He said that Jesus is the first fruits of that. He is the first evidence of the resurrection of the dead. He is the witness that you have. Now, I want to get in to the fact of the matter of him being what we would say the evidence, the infallible evidence that is there. You've heard these stories probably most of your life, but I want you to hear them again because it's needful for us to remember that there was evidence that Jesus rose from the grave. Bible in the 24th chapter of Luke is where I'm going first. In the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, you've heard this story. It says, now unto the first day of the week, very early in the morning, I'll add to this, John said, even while it was still dark. He said, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, most people would say, well, somebody came and they took him, didn't they? Most people would have said, well, some of his disciples broke in. And as I said a while ago, they paid the guards to make that statement is what they said. Now, in the Roman army, if a man fails to do his duty in a guard duty, they put him to death. But the priest, they convinced Pilate to leave him alive so that they could make this false accusation against him. But he says, but it came to pass as they were very perplexed thereabout, in other words, at that time, he said, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. All right, now, we've got somebody that's appeared. And these two, it doesn't call them disciples, does it? It says they were in shining garments. I'm of the opinion and what the scriptures teaches us, these were the angels of God that were there. These angels of the Lord were on the scene at that moment in time. Jesus was not in the grave. And it says, and as they were afraid and bowed down to their faces to the earth, they said unto them, these two men that were in shining apparel, why seek ye the living among the dead? Whew, that's good right there. When you think about Jesus being dead, and he said, why seek ye the living among the dead? When I go up to the old cemetery up there above the house, and I visit up there, I don't go seeking my loved ones to be living up there. I'm not looking for them at that time. Boy, it'd be wonderful to be there in the day that the trumpet sounds and the grave's bursting open, and I get to see that. I've heard different people make that statement over the years. But I'm going to tell you something. My mother and daddy and brother and grandparents, they're not going to worry about me. They're going to have their eyes on Jesus as he is coming back through the skies. And they're not worried about me in that moment. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not going to be worried about them either. I'm going to be looking up to Jesus in that very same moment. But it says, and why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember that. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He put it to their remembrance, didn't he? He wanted them to remember what he had said. Yeah, he told them, he said, I'm going to be delivered up. They're going to treat me spitefully. They're going to crucify me. They're going to kill me, in other words. But on that third day, I'm coming out of that grave. It's not going to hold me in that place. It says those ladies left after that, and they went back to Jerusalem, back into the city, and they'd have found the disciples, and it says that they began to tell them those things which were witnessed to them of the angels. Now, I don't know how you explain this. Everybody tells a story different, don't they? Now, John, he doesn't put it all in the same manner. Now, it says that they went and told his disciples, and most people have in their minds, well, they went into the room where he's at, and they told him about it. But it says, Mary Magdalene, that she found in the second verse of the 20th chapter of John, she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That was John. And she said, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. Now that makes it sound like she thought that somebody took him off, didn't she? I think she thought the angels did. He was alive, but she thought they took him off. And he says, we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. You want proof? You want proof that he rose from the dead? You know what the scripture says about this? And so they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. I tell you what, I'd been the last in there too. I was always slow. But what I'm telling you was, John outran Peter to the sepulchre. And he says, and he stooped down, and he looked in, and he saw the linen cloth lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And I'm not going to get into it, but that had a meaning to it. That had a meaning to it when he did that. Then went he also, that other disciple which came in first, to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Whoo! You think about that today. He saw it and he believed it. He was gone. He rose just like he told him, is what he was basically saying. For as yet they did not know the scripture. Oh, man, how'd they miss that? I've thought about that different times. As yet they did not know the scripture, is what it says, that he must rise from the dead. You know, I think so many times, and I'll be honest with you, as much as I try to study the Word of God in these last 50 years, I keep going back to this book and I find scripture. Ooh, I hadn't noticed that before. The Lord had revealed it probably sometime or another, but I didn't pay attention to it. They was the same way. They was just like you and I. But it said that after that day that they came back to the disciples and they told them about it. And there was two other men that went back unto the, they was on the road to Emmaus is what it says. And Jesus came up in the midst of them and he started telling them, talking to them about it. And they didn't recognize him. Now, Brother Stewart said many times in our Sunday school classes, we think we would have been better than they would have. We would have recognized him. We would have never denied him. We'd never done anything like they did it. I think I'm sorrier than they was. Those two men didn't recognize him until he started to break the bread and he started to bless it. There was something about that that opened up their eyes. And they was looking at the Son of God in that moment in time. And as soon as they recognized him, you know what the scripture said? That he vanished out of their sight. But they turned around and they went back to Jerusalem. They wanted to tell everybody, we saw him. We saw Jesus. Mary Magdalene had saw him. She testified to it. Now these two wanted to go back. They wanted to tell everybody, we saw Jesus. He is alive, just like he said he would be. If you go over to that verse, and I've turned my Bible, didn't mean to, in that book of Luke here, 24th chapter, in verse 34 it says, they came saying, the Lord is risen indeed. That's verse 34. And hath appeared to Simon. That's what they told these two men. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. The Lord revealed himself to him. Was he done yet? No, he wasn't done yet. He had many infallible proofs. What does the Bible say? In the mouths of two or three witnesses, the truth shall be known, is what the scripture says. Jesus didn't allow it just to be in the hands of the women. He says, I want somebody else to see me. And that's what he did. Then he wanted his disciples to see him. You know what he did? He came into the room with them. And what he said to them there was, they got afraid. Remember when Jesus was walking on the water? What'd they do? They got afraid. They thought it was a spirit. They thought Jesus was a spirit again. And what he tells them in this chapter here was, he said, take me, feel me. Here's my hands. See the nail prints in them. See that it is I, flesh and bone. And he took meat or food is what he did. And he ate it in front of them. He was a man just like you and I that had risen from the dead is what he'd done. An infallible truth. I'm going to close out with this, Brother Sam. In the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, again, Paul writes this. And he's talking about those that are buried and rose again. He talks about Jesus, that we preach unto them that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's verse 4. In verse 5, he says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, that after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. I don't know when that was. The Bible don't tell us when that time was. but over 500 people. In the mouths of two or three, the truth shall be known. Jesus left infallible proof that he arose from the grave. What does it mean to be infallible? It does not fail. It can't fail. It's an infallible proof. If you've got something that is so sure, it's infallible, and that's what Jesus gave them to preach the gospel. But he says, above 500, he said, of which at the writing of the book of 1 Corinthians are still yet alive, yet some of them have fallen asleep. Some of them have gone on. Then Paul says this, and after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Paul said, I got to see him. Well, what a great privilege that would be. There's coming a day. There he is. There's coming a day when we'll get to see him. And I'm not talking about when we go to heaven. There's coming a day, whether I be asleep in the grave or I be alive at the time, there's coming a day when the Lord is going to come back to this earth once again. He's going to come with a shout. At the sound of a great trumpet is what the scripture says. And as I quoted a while ago, then they which are asleep in the grave will come forth out of that grave. And will be resurrected just like Jesus was. And you know what I said? If I was at the cemetery, my family members, they're not going to worry about me. They're not going to look around to see me. They're going to be looking at Jesus. As I said earlier, I don't think I'm going to be looking at them. I'm going to be looking at Jesus. Ooh, that's a wonderful thought. And I'll see him just as he was. I'll see him just as he was. I think the old song, and I'm going to close with this, Brother Sam. I think the old song that we sing, I may be totally wrong about this, but there was an old song that we used to sing back in the 70s. The only thing that is in heaven that was made by man are the prints in his hands. I think he still has them as an infallible proof that he was the man that arose from the grave. He still got them. While we stand and sing, I want you to think about that today. There is proof out there. If you're sitting there today being skeptical about this whole thing about Jesus, whether or not he was real or not, I want you to understand something today. He's real. He was real. He was alive then. He died and he rose for you and I that we might be saved. And yet he is still alive today. Keep that on your heart today while we stand and sing. If you need to seek the Lord, the altars are open while we sing.
103.